Today I share with you some words from the Gospel reading, specifically verse 15 of the Gospel, which was read by our subdeacon this morning. And these words go something like this: be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And I'm sure that some of these words sort of pop up at you. They did pop up at me as I did the readings for today and reflected on the message. Be on our guard against greed, because our life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Now, as we enjoy the summer on this Simcoe Day weekend, the scripture presents us with a compelling message about our priorities as individuals and as a church. And over the last few weeks, we've been following the teachings of Jesus about discipleship and what our Christian vocation calls us to be and calls us to do. And you might recall that last week, Sister Connie talked about prayer. She drew our attention to a model of prayer from the Gospel of Luke and the five major components of that model, which we could use as a guide when we pray. Prayer is essential for the Christian as it nourishes our relationship with Christ. And today, the Gospel focuses our attention on another Christian discipline, which is the stewardship of our lives, the stewardship of material wealth and possessions, things that we value, the stewardship of our time and other gifts. And so in the passage from Luke, there was a request to Jesus to settle a dispute between two brothers who had a disagreement about the family inheritance. Now, such situations were often brought to rabbis back in the day for them to resolve. So this was not unusual. And I would imagine that today, many of these disputes are brought to independent parties for resolution. And in the exchange with the person who had asked Jesus to settle the dispute, Jesus told a parable about a rich fool. Jesus said, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And I believe that today this applies equally to each and every one of us. Our lives do not consist in the abundance of the things we value: possessions, other material goods, as important as they are. But here's the dilemma. Material possessions are often seen as a measure of personal achievement, don't they? Look how far we've come. As an individual, as a community, as a church, we have accomplished so much, we have acquired so much. And for many, it is a sign of progress. We've built new roads, we have huge buildings, we have this wonderful church. Look how much progress we've made. So material wealth is often seen as a measure of progress. Secondly, wealth is sometimes used to acquire more wealth. It's called investing, isn't it? Before my ordination, I was in the investment business, and people would come and say, "Well, you know, I would like whatever percentage return on my investment." Wealth is sometimes used to acquire more wealth, sometimes to invest in others, and sometimes to invest in ourselves. And thirdly, wealth is often used for good causes. And sometimes it is labeled as God's work for the good of humanity. And that is very important as well. Every now and again, we'll get a donation to the church as part of someone's financial legacy. But despite how worthy and logical all these reasons might be, we are encouraged to think about what is meaningful and what will endure. And beyond material wealth, let us also consider other gifts with which we've been blessed and how they are used. For we are aware that Jesus makes a difference between storing and investing. Between storing and investing. And I know that I'm speaking to myself today, because you'd be shocked to know how long it's been taking me to clean out my basement. It's been a work in progress. And I notice that some of you are smiling. You're probably in the same situation where every year you make a vow to do spring cleaning. But you didn't say which year you might finish your spring cleaning. So it goes on from year to year to year. So let us be mindful of the difference that Jesus is making between storing up treasure and investing in what will last. So I believe that Jesus was not critical of abundance, because so many people that God has used to do his work were wealthy people. And God continues to channel his wealth for good, through generous people. Jesus was not suggesting that we should not be prudent and plan for retirement or pass on a financial legacy for our children and grandchildren, or to give to causes which we support. I believe that Jesus was critical of the lengths to which we go, distorting God's priorities for us and being motivated by greed and by envy, to the extent that it compromises our relationship with Christ and with each other. And here we have the example of the two brothers who were at odds over the family wealth. So let us be careful that our desire to accumulate does not become our primary motivation. I think that ideally, the primary purpose for anything that we have is to use it for God's glory. And we must carefully discern what that means for each and every one of us. So then, what should we do with our wealth? Well, three thoughts, lessons from others. First of all, give it back. It's a tough one, isn't it? Give it back. We came with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. So give it back. Give it back. Tithers and benevolent people contribute to worthwhile endeavors, to give as we have received. So that's one way of looking at it. Give it back. I remember when pre-authorized giving was introduced in the church, and I'm sure that many of you here are on pre-authorized giving. I found it very, very difficult to let the collection plate pass without putting anything on the plate, because I'd been trained from a very young age to put something on the plate. And I recall that at evensong, many Sunday evenings, I would fall asleep during the sermon, and my penny, because that's what we could give at the time, our pennies, would roll along the aisle, and there was no carpeting, so you'd hear the pennies falling out of the pockets of the children who had fallen asleep during the sermon. But that's a little aside. We have been blessed with much, and so we do give some back to God's work. And if you're not yet on pre-authorized giving, believe me, it's an easy, straightforward, simple way to give, because you don't miss it. And that's an example of not giving what's left over, but giving from the top. Giving from the top. Giving the best back to God. So first of all, give it back. Secondly, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. We can learn from those who live on very little and those who are diligent in reducing their carbon footprint. I'm working on it myself, but it's taking me a little while. In a recent conversation with a friend, she told me that she had become a minimalist. And I said, "What is a minimalist?" And this is what she said to me in summary. "I tried to live a simple life with fewer material possessions. I tried to live a simple life with fewer material possessions." And what she told me as well is that every time she acquires one item, she tries to get rid of at least one and maybe two. So give it back. Give it away. And for many, the third option is a delicate balance between what we do for the present and what we do for the future life. For while we are here, we must look at the life beyond the grave. We must look at life after death. We must look for a higher mission and a higher purpose. So three thoughts for your consideration then. Give it back, give it away, invest in a higher purpose. It's fair to say that we must place God's priorities first in our lives before the accumulation of wealth and possessions. And ever so often, it is necessary to evaluate how we are doing. How do we invest our gifts of time and money? Now, we might decide to arrange things a bit, or perhaps stay the course, because we do evaluations, don't we? I remember once going through a very simple exercise about deciding how we're doing, and I'm sure many of you have tried this before, but if you haven't tried it, do this. Put three words before you: stop, start, continue. Can you remember those? Stop, start, continue. Think of all the things that you must stop doing. Think of all the things you should start doing. And think of all the things you should continue doing. In the church, we must do that as well. For this is where we press the reset button and perhaps have a good look at our personal, our family, and our church priorities. At our June meeting of the parish executive, we discussed the reality of parishes our size and how it is so important to establish priorities for us. We looked at four areas: ministry to seniors, ministry to children and youth. We looked at pastoral support, and we looked at attendance and participation. You might be aware that we are about to resume our mission action planning for St. George and Young. And this is geared to help us stay focused on how we could share the gospel message in ways that are appropriate for the parish, given our resources and the choices before us. And here's some advice which I find useful. And the first bit of advice comes from Brother Curtis. Now, Brother Curtis is a part of the Society of St. John the Evangelist. And I read you in part what Brother Curtis advises. All the things which we could call possessions, both the tangible and the intangible, give them up. Give them up. I'm not saying to disregard them or devalue them. Quite to the contrary, I'm speaking of giving them up like an offering. Giving them up like an offering. Acknowledge to God how God has acknowledged you in them, living your life as an offering of thanksgiving. And you know that in many churches at the offertory, there are some words which are said which are quite straightforward and sometimes sung. All things come from thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. All things come from thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee? So let us give our lives, everything, as an offering to God. Because every day we struggle with what has to get done and what is most important to us and to our families. And the parable today reminds us that only what's done for Christ will last, that the material things of this world are temporary and are resources for doing good. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wealth, but what's important is how wealth is used. And perhaps this story is meant to challenge us to pay attention to the stewardship of God's resources with which we have been blessed. Last bit of advice which I got comes from a pastor by the name of Caleb Johnson from the American Lutheran Church. And in a reflection on July the 16th, I say in part what she presented. The world follows one trend after another, and people get lost here and there along the way. Hold fast to the Lord and sink your roots deep into God's teachings. Then no matter which direction the world turns, we remain grounded. We remain grounded. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, we must all find ways to overcome greed, to pursue a higher mission for the stewardship of our lives to the honor and glory of God. Recently, as I was driving around, I saw a billboard, and I didn't get the whole billboard because obviously I was driving. And it said something like this: invest in what you value. And it caught my attention. Invest in what you value. I would also add, invest in what will last. Can we rise to the challenge? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the call to follow you. Help us to stay focused on your love for us in all that we do. And give us the wisdom to be responsible stewards of your many gifts entrusted to your care. So, my sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.